Hello, Susanna Lopez here, actor turned barrister turned broadcaster turned true crime writer and proud member of Sisters in Crime Australia. Welcome to the Scarlet Stiletto Bites podcast. For over 30 years now, Sisters in Crime Australia has supported our women crime writers, both true crime and fiction, and some criminal literary talent has been unearthed. Among many awards, there's an annual prize for short crime fiction, the Scarlet Stiletto Awards. And for those of you who prefer your stories by ear, in 2023 we commenced this podcast series, Scarlet Stiletto Bites, to celebrate the sisters' 30th anniversary. Each story is short, but not always sweet. Expect twisted tales, quirky humour, and a frisson of feminism. Please support us by following, sharing, reviewing, and generally spreading the word. We have no paywall. Spending lots of time in the bush has made me a keen kangaroo watcher. My dad and I once rescued a joey caught up in a fence, so I can really relate to today's story. Fence Hanger by Linda Tubner. Scarlet Stiletto third prize winner, 2007. Darcy approached the victim cautiously to avoid startling it. The large testicles came into view and she breathed a sigh of relief. At least she wouldn't have to check the pouch for joeys. The poor victim, an adult male eastern grey kangaroo, was tangled in the barbed wire strands of the farm fence and hanging upside down. Its legs had been cut back to the bone by the barbs, but it was still thrashing around trying to free itself. This was what was commonly known in wildlife rescue circles as a fence hanger. Kangaroos and wallabies are excellent fence jumpers, but occasionally something startles them and they misjudge the height with disastrous consequences. Usually the legs go under the top strand, the torso hits, and the animal's momentum causes it to topple over head first in a scissor action, the strands of wire twisted cruelly around the legs. Darcy quietly and slowly walked closer to the animal so that she could assess the damage. It looked as though it had been here for some time, as it was well and truly entangled and was obviously very distressed. Darcy felt sick at the futility of the situation. Without another person to help her, her chances of untangling this beautiful creature without causing more damage were slim. Even if she did untangle it, she'd have to restrain it and get it somewhere for treatment and rehabilitation. She didn't have any sedatives, and an unsedated large male in pain would be almost possible for her to handle on her own. Then she noticed something which made her blood run cold. There was a gunshot wound in the animal's shoulder, and it was bleeding profusely. This was most likely what had caused this roo to panic and hang itself on the fence, which it had probably cleared dozens of times. Darcy fumed. Here was a magnificent adult kangaroo that had managed for years to successfully jump fences, eat the right food, evade predators and cars, and probably sire a few offspring, and some sick bastard had decided to take a shot at it for whatever reason and couldn't even make it a quick, humane death. Darcy knew that the best outcome for the animal was euthanasia. Fortunately, she had bought her rifle because, unfortunately, most of the time she was called out to rescue an adult roo, a quick death was the best she could do for it. She'd done this far too many times and wished she didn't have to know where to place the shot. She wished that she didn't even have to be aware that this sort of stuff went on day in, day out, all over the country. But she did know, and the poor victims, well, the minority that she managed to get to anyway, were better off because of it. Back at home, Darcy was still angry at the sheer waste and the unnecessary distress caused to the animal. She always had a sick feeling in her stomach for hours after euthanizing an animal. But this time she couldn't even console herself that it was just a horrible accident. She knew that someone had deliberately shot the animal, and either was a very poor shot or had purposely tried to make it suffer. She wondered if the shooter had even gained some perverse thrill by staying around to watch the animal thrash on the fence. She would normally assume the poor shot theory. People often weren't close enough, couldn't see properly, or their guns didn't shoot straight. They often knew that the shot wouldn't be right, but out of impatience took it anyway and hoped that it would still kill the animal. Well, yes, in most cases, even a poor shot will kill an animal, but in a manner that would make most people's skin crawl if they even thought about it. Darcy had managed not to think about it for years. She'd lived in the city and had seen a lot of roadkill on country drives, but she'd tried not to think too much about the suffering that animals can endure, both accidental and deliberate. It had always distressed her and made her feel impotent, so she just shut it out of her mind. After moving to the country a year ago, though, she had realised that there was no avoiding the facts. She'd decided to direct her distress in a positive way and do something to help. She'd connected with a network of wildlife rescuers and carers across the state, done some basic training, got her gun licence and was thrust out on her own to be the only thing in the area standing between an animal and a horrendous death. It was a heavy burden to bear and brought her face to face with human cruelty and indifference and sheer bad luck. There were some happy endings, but only one or two out of her dozens of rescues. Even though finding a healthy Joey, which is cared for and rehabilitated, is a positive outcome, it's still only a consolation, as the Joey would have been better off being raised in the wild by its mother. Darcy didn't know how she'd manage without the network of rescuers. Many of them were isolated, like her, and their only means of venting frustration was via an internet forum and the occasional training day. It restored her faith in humans to know that there were other people out there who cared and made sacrifices to do the right thing. She logged on to the rescue database and filled out the rescue details. She entered the species name and then adult male. Under cause of injury, she entered fence hanger. Under fate, she entered euthanized. One night during the following week, Darcy was called about a roadkill victim and set out apprehensively to see what she could do. She pulled up in the car behind the lump of fur, with the headlights illuminating the scene, and got out of the car, donning her fluoro safety vest and gloves. This was a female wallaby, and was definitely dead. Darcy knew it was dead because it had been decapitated. She groaned and wondered whether someone had come here after the animal had been hit by the car and taken the head as a trophy, or whether it had not been hit by a car at all, but had been mutilated and left here. The person who called her had assumed that it was a road trauma victim, but that may not be the case. She looked around for the head and then decided to focus on checking the pouch for young. She opened the pouch slowly and saw a small furry tail. It was definitely old enough, judging by the fur and the size, to be a viable Joey. If it hadn't been here too long, its chances of survival were quite good. Darcy eased the Joey out backwards so the legs and tail didn't catch on the way out. It was still warm. She allowed herself a small smile at the thought that she may be saving a life. When she lifted the Joey out, however, she recoiled in horror. It too had been decapitated. Darcy stood up and looked around, wondering if the perpetrator was watching her. Nobody in their right mind would find a Joey in its dead mother's pouch, take it out and decapitate it, then put it back in. She was starting to feel that there was something very wrong about this scenario and became acutely aware of her vulnerability. She knew that some rescuers used decapitation as a means of euthanasia for Joeys that were not viable. In other words, they were too young to possibly survive. Too young, however, meant no fur, ears still lying against the head and eyes not open. This Joey was definitely past that age, and all the rescuers she knew in the region would be aware of that. Besides, decapitation for euthanasia was no longer legal, and all the rescuers knew that as well. She backed around to the boot of the car and retrieved her torch and rifle. She heard a twig snap off to her left and swung around to see if someone was there. The torch was strong, but there were just too many shadows caused by the trees. She heard a series of sniffles, definitely human, but still couldn't locate the source. The trees were just too thick to see. So the bastard had hung around to see her discover his handiwork. Darcy was sick to her stomach. As if the poor native animals aren't in enough danger through accidents. But to have someone purposely setting out to mutilate them made her blood boil. She was going to get this bastard. But not right now, as he had all the advantages. He may even have night vision goggles, so she would be a fool to start pursuing him through the thick scrub. She realised there was nothing more she could do for the wallaby and her Joey. Still scanning the bush to make sure that she wasn't going to become his next victim, she carefully got back in the driver's seat of the car and placed the torch and rifle on the passenger seat. She hoped he wasn't going to shoot at her as she drove away, but she made it down the road, shaking with fear. The Wildlife Rescuers internet forum was buzzing with the horrific news. Darcy already knew, as Sarah had visited in person, shaking with rage and anguish to let her know. Sarah had a property nearby on which she had set up pens as a halfway house for wildlife that had been rehabilitated and were almost ready for release. She had two gorgeous eastern grey joeys there that were almost old enough to go out on their own. Sarah had nursed them since they came to her as orphans of road trauma about 6 months ago. While Sarah was staying at the property on Friday night, someone had snuck into the pens and shot her Joeys. Sarah had heard the commotion, but not until it was too late for the Joeys. She ran outside in time to see a ute driving away, but hadn't got the registration number in the dark. The police hadn't been much help and had basically told her not to get so upset about a couple of kangaroos. They'd taken Sarah's description of the vehicle and the driver at her insistence, but said they were too busy with real crimes to look into it. Darcy had tried to console Sarah for at least an hour, but she was sharing her grief and frustration and couldn't really think of anything positive to say about the whole ordeal. They both had a slow, burning rage that would be there for a long time. Nothing would replace those Joeys and all the effort, time and love that had been invested in them. Several days later, Darcy was driving back home from a shopping trip in town. She saw a battered ute turn down a side road and caught a glimpse of what looked like a kangaroo or wallaby bouncing around in the back. She stopped the car and watched as the ute drove slowly down the road until it was swallowed in swirling dust. The skin on the back of her neck was standing up. It wasn't uncommon for a farmer to drive around in a ute with a roo that he had shot, perhaps taking its carcass home to feed the dogs. But this ute had no spotlights or carcass hooks, and it was broad daylight. Something nagged at the back of Darcy's mind. She squeezed her eyes closed to focus on it before it slipped away. The conversation with Sarah. The ute that had been driven away from the shooting at Sarah's place. Sarah said it was a cream Toyota without spotlights. Male driver around 40. Solid, long, stringy black hair, red parka and beanie. This had to be the guy. Darcy drove home, unloaded the groceries and picked up her rifle. She drove back to the spot where she had seen the ute turn off and followed down the dusty side road. She drove slowly, trying not to create too much dust. Several hundred metres down the road, she could see through the trees the ute parked around a bend. She stopped her car and got out, carrying her rifle. She managed to sneak through the bush to where she could see the back of the ute. A man was sitting in the back, straddling a large kangaroo with his knees. The animal had been shot and was clearly dead. The man was attempting to hack its head off with a machete. Darcy heard the same repetitive sniffling that she'd heard the other night in the bush. He matched Sarah's description, right down to the beanie and the long, stringy black hair. So this was the sick bastard who was mutilating animals and hanging around to see her reaction. She cocked the gun and shot into the tire of the ute. The man jumped up in fright and saw her standing there with a rifle. He dropped to the ground and ran down the road towards the creek, trying to hide amongst the trees there and stop Darcy from getting a clear shot. Damn, this guy was fast. Darcy'd lost sight of him, but pursued anyway. She'd spent many hours tracking down injured animals and knew that she had to be patient. She pursued at a distance so that she didn't startle him into panic and make him do something rash. Once she got to the creek, it wasn't hard to see where he'd gone by the boot marks in the mud. She followed the boot marks down the creek bed at a steady pace. He must be sticking to the creek for cover without realising that he was leaving tracks in the mud. After several minutes, she was starting to sweat, but she knew that she was still following his tracks and that he couldn't be too far ahead. Eventually, he would either think that she was no longer tracking him and turn back for his ute, or he would tire and need to rest. Even if he did leave the creek and she could no longer follow his boot marks, Darcy was confident that she had enough experience to anticipate where a threatened animal would go. She grinned to think that even if he got back to the ute, he wouldn't be going anywhere in a hurry with one tire shot out. She had almost an hour of daylight left. He didn't have anything on him when he jumped out of the ute, so he wouldn't have any advantages in the dark that might be provided by night vision goggles or a torch. He may have a mobile phone in his pocket, was unlikely to get reception in this gully. She would track him down if it took her all night. As the daylight was fading, Darcy rounded a bend in the creek and saw him. He had attempted to jump a barbed wire fence and not cleared the top strand. He was now hanging upside down, with the barbs cutting cruelly into his legs, and the more he struggled to get out, the more entangled he became. Darcy approached cautiously and quietly to avoid startling the victim. Now, this was a classic fence hanger, and a large male would be very difficult to free on her own without causing more damage. She quickly assessed the damage and the victim's chances of rehabilitation. She knew what had to be done. An hour later, Darcy logged on to the rescue database and filled out the rescue details. Adult male, fence hanger, euthanized. The end. Thanks so much for listening. We'd love to get your feedback and we'd love to reach more listeners. Our website is sistersincrime.org.au and our email address is admin@sistersincrime.org.au. Until next Friday then, when we bring you another scintillating story from Australian women crime creative.